NBA sound system, Carlin Gay, Micah Adams, Scott Rafferty, and it is now time to talk about the thing that everyone's going to be talking about come Thursday. The All-Star starting lineups, both for the Eastern and Western Conference. There's some debate to be had, and then there's guarantees, pretty much. We can go out and say that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the West, backcourt, we don't need to talk about, right? It's Steph Curry, it's James Harden, and it falls off a cliff after those two guys.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, all right. So Steph Curry and James Harden in the backcourt in the Western Conference. We'll start with what's guaranteed also in the Eastern Conference so that we could spend more time getting into what is really the most debatable thing. Maybe the one guard position in the East and then the whole front court of the West. So the front court of the Eastern Conference, I have Embiid, I have Kawhi, and
Giannis.
Yep. Yeah. Is there really a debate for anybody else in that East front court?
I don't really think there's any debate, unless you want to talk about how Kawhi's missed, 13, 14 games, and that eliminates him from the conversation. But I don't really think that's the case, because he's basically been performing at the best level of his career. MVP type numbers from him. So I don't even think, with the East not being as strong as the West in depth and stuff like that, there's no doubt that he's in, even though he's missed games.
I don't even know who the fourth guy would be, honestly.
Blake Griffin, maybe?
Maybe Blake if the Pistons were winning a little bit more, right? Same thing for Vooch, but you can't. I honestly think that might even be, that top three might even be more tough to crack than the Curry, Harden in the backcourt in the West.
The front court is interesting, though, because you mentioned, the Kawhi injury, the East front court I'm talking about. You mentioned the Kawhi injury, and it's tough to put different names in there, but I'm going to throw some out there that, might get some snips here or there for you guys. We mentioned Blake. The front court of Marcus Morris, maybe. He's having a nice season for the Celtics. If you want to throw Jimmy Butler into the conversation, if he's a front court player, that's where you would put him. Do you bite on any of those?
I don't even think Jimmy Butler's been the third best player at his own team since he's been in Philly. If you were to ask me strictly, hey, since November 14th, when he's been with the team, rank the Sixers, I think J.J. Redick's been more important to that team than Jimmy Butler. And then you dive into the whole what happened in Minnesota stuff as well, and I don't think that you can give that team three All-Stars, which is probably what it's going to take. We'll get to the case of Ben Simmons here in a second, but I'm not sure that Jimmy Butler has really done enough to get there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the thing is here, it's Giannis and Embiid are locks, right? So we're basically just talking about Kawhi, and I really don't think anyone has been good enough in the Eastern Conference to kind of take over that spot, even though he's missed those games. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And when you look at the top teams, when you look at the Bucks and everything like that, the second best player on those teams, they haven't been good enough to take his spot. The only person who would be in the conversation here in my mind is Ben Simmons, but he's a guard, and I'm sure we're going to talk about him in a minute.
Yeah, let's do that now. Let's get right to the guards right now, because in the Eastern Conference, at least right now, Kyrie Irving is out in front of everybody turning votes. I think we all agree on the fact that we think Kyrie's played well enough to start, regardless of whether or not he's winning the All-Star votes in the fans' eyes. So he should start. But the debate begins, who starts beside him? The names that I'm going to throw out at you, you stop me and tell me if I'm right or wrong, if they should be in the conversation, and we'll go from there. Chris Middleton, Milwaukee Bucks, is he in the conversation to start in the All-Star game?
No chance.
Not start, no.
No.
Kyle Lowry, Toronto Raptors, is he in the conversation to start in the All-Star game?
Unfortunately, I don't think he's in the conversation anymore. He was at the start of the season, but he's not been good enough in the second half of the stretch.
I agree.
I think he's still in the conversation. You're talking about a guy that's been the heart and soul for the Raptors. He hasn't played up to potential, especially potential, past All-Star game. But for the best team in the league, best by record, you should have at least one or two All-Stars. And if you're not going to put Pascal Siakam in the All-Star game, I think it has to be Lowry. So I think he's still in the conversation. Victor Oladipo.
To start, though?
To start.
Okay.
Victor Oladipo, the best player on the third best team in a surprising uprise for these Indiana Pacers. Is he in the conversation?
I think he should be. And I actually think that there's a weird double standard going on right now with Oladipo. And people bring up the time missed. But, he's Kawhi's missed time. Mm-hmm. LeBron James has missed time, which we'll talk about. Like, there are other guys that have missed just as much time as Victor Oladipo has. And I do think it's pretty clear that he's probably the second best guard in the East after Kyrie. Now, again, we're debating whether or not he's been the second best guard this season.
Right.
But I do think that the, especially because Indiana, they're likely only going to get one All-Star. What he's meant to them late in games, I mean, he's been the best clutch time player in the league. He's by far the best defensive. I mean, if we're just ranking defensive guards as well, he's clearly the best defensive backcourt player in the Eastern Conference too. So I do think that Victor Oladipo should get some serious consideration.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The clutch thing is big for me too. I don't have the numbers pulled up right here, but he's basically been, to what you were saying, one of the best clutch scorers in the league this season, and that matters a lot. That's when the big guys step up and things like that. So I think that deserves a lot of attention.
Yeah, and even after he hit that game-winning three against Chicago a couple weeks ago, he was up to the point where he was shooting 62% in the clutch this season. That's better than LeBron's ever done. That's better than Kobe's ever done. That's better than Kevin Durant's ever done. That's better than Steph Curry's ever done. Like, it's one thing to just be really good. He's been better than really good. He has been better than the best players of this generation have ever been. So I don't think that can be understated.
No.
When talking Victor Oladipo.
Just no, some really quick numbers on him, by the way. He's tied for ninth in the NBA right now in total clutch points scored. He's shooting 63% from the field in those situations, and 60% from three. He's nailed 12 threes, which again is tied for the second most with James Harden. Like, he's just been unbelievable in the crunch time.
He really has, and it's almost a carryover from what he did last season, and that carried over into the playoffs. So we know he could get it done when the stage is the biggest. So Victor Oladipo definitely in the conversation. It sounds like you guys want to put him in the starting lineup. Should we just go ahead and do that? I was going to mention Ben Simmons. I was going to mention D'Angelo Russell. I was going to mention all these other guys, Kemba Walker. But should we just go ahead and say, you know, Victor Oladipo should start in the All-Star game?
I don't think he's my starter.
He's not mine either.
All right. Well, let's keep it going then. Ben Simmons. Is Ben Simmons the guy? He's been playing really, really well. You know, Jimmy Butler's been there, and he's kind of not fallen into the background. I expected Ben Simmons to kind of disappear into the background and score less, but that hasn't happened.
He's my guy. I think it's pretty clearly Ben Simmons. To me, actually, as good as Victor Oladipo has been and everything that we just said, I think people harp on the jump shooting and the lack of an outside shot. And I think part of that is because he was so good last year as a rookie that you just naturally expect people to just fill in gaps from year one to year two and for him to really take this massive leap forward. I mean, he's still having an outrageous season.
He is.
He's averaging over 16 points, 9 boards, and 8 assists per game. The only other two players in league history to do that at his age are Magic and Oscar. And other than those two guys, the only two to do it at any point in their career are Russell Westbrook and Wilt Chamberlain. And that's it. So, like, jump shot or no jump shot, I mean, Ben Simmons is still doing everything except that while being a really strong defensive player, while also being completely unstoppable on the break. He's shooting like 70% at the rim or something outrageous. So to me, Ben Simmons, for all of the discussion, all of the hubbub over his jump shot, I do think he deserves to start the All-Star game.
You agree with that, Scott?
Yeah, I wish I could make this more interesting, but you basically took all the words right out of my mouth. I feel like the whole jump shot thing has taken away a lot of the discussion about what he is so good at and how much of the game he impacts on both ends. And he's having an incredible season. And I think when you compare him to guys like Kyle Lowry and Victor Oladipo, not as much Victor Oladipo, the time that he's missed has hurt his case more than anything, I think. But when you compare him to Lowry and Kemba Walker and things like that, like, Ben Simmons' consistency gives him that edge for me.
So no argument to be made for the other guys that I threw out there. So Kemba Walker out of it, even though he is the best player on his team, if he's not on Charlotte, I mean, they are probably in the lottery. Probably. They are in the lottery if he's not there. And he's been night and night out their best player.
He is. And I think when you compare him to kind of the other Eastern Conference guards or the other guards in this discussion, I don't think anyone carries as big of a load on a nightly basis as he does. Because to your point, you know, he's the easily the best offensive, like he is the offense on that team, and they basically don't win when he doesn't play well. That's the difference. If he doesn't play well, they don't win. If he, and even when he scores like 40 or 50, 60 points like we saw this season, that doesn't even guarantee them a win because they just don't have the supporting cast around him.
Yeah.
I also think if we had this conversation a month ago, not only is Kemba in the starting lineup, Kyle Lowry is probably also in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and we both put them in.
Yeah, so I think he's been tremendous. He absolutely deserves to be in the All-Star game. I think if he would have maintained, you know, no one expected, he was leading the league in scoring for a while. No one expected that to hold up, but if he had, you know, stayed hovering kind of at least in that neighborhood, I'm a big believer that if there's a player from the team that the All-Star game is in, I think it's awesome when those guys get the opportunity to star in their own building as part of the starting lineup. I don't think he is quite on the level of Simmons or Oladipo, and certainly not Kyrie Irving.
So no debate that Kemba Walker should be on the NBA All-Star team or Eastern Conference All-Star squad, but he shouldn't start. One other guy I want to throw out there before we go out west where the debate really begins is Bradley Beal. He's been phenomenal since John Wall's been out with injury. He's really keeping the Wizards afloat. We know his name's been knocked around in trade rumors and whatnot. That hasn't stopped him from playing terrific basketball. Should he get the nod or be in the conversation?
Definitely in the conversation. He's been fantastic since John Moles went down and everything like that, keeping the Wizards in this and everything. But it's very hard. You're basically splitting hairs at this point. I just give Ben Simmons a slight edge over him and some of the other guys we mentioned.
I also just think Washington they've been a dumpster fire, put it nicely.
And he's been keeping them afloat, though.
And he has. And 99% of the problems have nothing to do with Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. It seems really odd to me to give that team an all-star starter, given the just ridiculous comedy of errors that's gone on in Washington so far this season. So for me, unfortunately, I think that's a case where sort of the team kind of clouds overall what Beal has done. Because like you both have said, he's been absolutely sensational, especially since John Wall went out.
The only thing I'll say to wrap up our Eastern Conference guard conversation, I think I'll put Victor Oladipo over Ben Simmons. I think Victor Oladipo should start, gets it done on both ends of the floor, the best player on his team, and the top three team in the East deserves a starter, in my opinion, and that's my reasoning for picking Victor Oladipo. I think he just, for what he's doing for the Pacers, he can't have an off night. Ben Simmons is allowed to have those off nights. He has help in Joel Embiid. He doesn't have to be the best player on the team. He's not. It's Joel Embiid. And now with Jimmy Butler, he can relax a little bit. He hasn't, but he can. And I think I'll give credit to Victor Oladipo where credit's due. So we say Giannis, we say Kawhi, we say Joel Embiid, either Victor Oladipo or Ben Simmons, and then Kyrie Irving. So that's the five out East. It'll be interesting to see. The reserves is really where the debate will come in the Eastern Conference. All right, out West, we already know who the backcourt's going to be. It's going to be Steph Curry. It's going to be James Harden. Cool. We all agree with that. Let's get to the front court. The front court is really where it starts to get interesting because there's five or six guys that have a legitimate case to be starting on the Western Conference All-Star. So I'll start with you, Scotty. Go ahead. I know we talked about it earlier, but you have a different view than us two sitting next to you.
Do I?
I think so.
We're about to find out, aren't we?
I honestly go back and forth on this every single day. I think Jokic is a pretty easy decision for me. The Nuggets have surpassed everyone's expectations this season. He is by far and away the best player on that team. He is doing things that we've never seen before. Colin and I have had this discussion before about whether or not he's the greatest passing center of all time. He is. I don't think there's a question about that. So he gets the one spot for me. The other two, I think I'd probably go with LeBron and KD. KD's having a fantastic season. It gets kind of lost in the shuffle with everything else that's going on. The dude is just unbelievable. He's averaging 28 points a game, shooting basically 50-40-90. He's averaging a career high in assists the last time I checked. He's also averaging about 7 rebounds. He's just an unbelievable offensive player, and it's so easy to take for granted what he does. The LeBron one is a little bit harder. Had he not gone injured, I don't think there'd be any debate that he should be in the starting lineup. But it's just so hard for me to leave LeBron out of this because of who he is. And I know that's not the best argument for it, but that's just the way it is.
It's a valid one. I think it's a valid one. I think LeBron is obviously going to be the most polarizing guy He should be the most polarizing, but he's not going to be because most people are going to put him in the starting lineup.
And he deserves it. Like, let's be real here. He does. And I know...
But if you're going to make that argument for LeBron, why not make it for Victor Oladipo? Because Victor Oladipo's missed probably the same amount of games as LeBron has. He's had the same impact on his team. His team is performing better with him in the lineup. And he has, I don't want to say less talent, but we'll say equal talent.
Well, the argument would be that, I think one of the arguments would be that the Pacers, unlike last season, actually kept their head above water when Oladipo was out. They did really well. The Lakers, that's not been the case.
No.
And that's, you know, you can say that for a bunch of other players. Actually, you can't use that for Kawhi because the Raptors have been great without him. But that's the case for a lot of guys, and you can't necessarily punish guys for saying, you know, like, for Harden or whatever, he hasn't missed any games, so you can't use that argument. But I do think that holds some weight when you're comparing him to someone like Oladipo.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I think it is... I think the prevailing sentiment is that there's five players for three spots. I actually think there's only four players for three spots. LeBron has just missed too much time, especially when compared to guys that have not missed a lot of time, right? I think that all things being equal, sure, it's five for three, but all things aren't equal. For me, it's funny that you listed the three that you do, because to me, the only no-brainer is actually Paul George, which is someone that you don't have. He's having by far the best offensive season of his career. I mean, it's not even close. He's been better offensively than Russell Westbrook, who is an MVP. And he's also maybe the front runner for defensive player of the year as well. So we talk about two-way impact. I think Paul George has simply been sensational on a team that just needs everything that he gives too. It's not a really deep team. It's a team that struggles to score. It's a team that what he does on both ends is sort of the identity of that team. Like, it's weird that, like, of course Russell Westbrook is the heart and soul of everything OKC does, and Steven Adams as well to a certain extent, but the way in which Paul George excels, I think to me is a perfect summation of why Oklahoma City has been one of the better sort of teams and stories of the first half of the season. Picking between Jokic, Davis, and Durant is, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it kind of feels impossible. I think I'm going to do contrary to what should be done probably, I'm going to take actually Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic.
Whoa.
Okay, explain yourself.
You know, we're not doing one center, we're doing three front court players, mostly done as a way to get in more deserving forwards, right? Like, there was a while there where we were voting in all-star centers that to be starters that probably shouldn't have been starting the all-star game, but hey, we had to have a center there, right? I think for two entirely different reasons, those two guys should be. Anthony Davis is having one of the most brilliant statistical individual seasons ever. I mean, he really is completely doing everything for a team that might be among the three shallowest in the league once you get to the 4 through 10 spots on the roster, right? Everything you said about Jokic is absolutely true. He's absolutely carrying that team for a long time. They've had the best record in the West. They finally did get caught by Golden State, but I mean, they're a team that not only are they not going to have two All-Stars, because Jamal Murray's just, I don't think he's there yet. Like, I don't even know who their third best player has been. Their third best player very well could be their backup point guard, Monty Morris, who might not even be the backup point guard anymore once Isaiah Thomas gets back. Mm. Right? Like, they've been without their entire rotation basically the entire year, and it just has not mattered. He's been incredible. So I'm going to give them love and give two centers the All-Star starting nod over Kevin Durant. I realize he's a 50-40-90 guy. I realize he's having the best passing season of his career. I also realize that one of the dominant themes up until about 2 weeks ago was sort of the Warriors' general malaise and being very underwhelming. And yes, Kevin Durant has been there every step of the way. They had a losing record in the 11 games that Steph Curry was out. I put a lot of that on Kevin Durant. Even though he was good in those games,
He was incredible in those
games. He was incredible in those games, but at the end of the day, like, that's a 5-6 record over a pretty healthy stretch of time. I just, it's really weird the way that Golden State's season has gone to give them two starters to me. So I'm going Paul George, Davis, and Nikola Jokic.
Golden State, by the way, at the time of recording this, is 33-14, best record in the Western Conference on an 8-game winning streak, and they don't have two All-Stars.
That's,
why?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, but I also don't think he's not the reason that they're on an 8-game winning streak. Klay Thompson has started to be Klay Thompson again. We already talked about how Steph Curry is far and away one of the two best guards in the league. Like, they just got DeMarcus Cousins back. I know that that's not the whole 8-game stretch. Like, Kevin Durant has been sensational. He's been great. I think this is a case where there are far more than five All-Star worthy starters in the West, including him. He just falls prey to, in my opinion, not sort of defining his team's season in a positive way like those other three guys have.
And that's going to be my argument against not having Anthony Davis on my team. And Anthony Davis can have incredible stats all day long, but as we record this right now, his team is outside of the playoff race. And it's not like they're just a game or two outside. They are way outside of a playoff race. I can't sit here in good conscience and put someone in the starting lineup. He's an All-Star, sure, absolutely. He's having an All-Star season, normal season for him, really. And he's still one of the five best players in the NBA, bar none. But you can't reward a guy like that who's, you know, having a dominant season but is not winning games. That's your same argument that you're using for Kevin Durant. I'm using that for Anthony Davis. But I'm still going to put Kevin Durant in the starting lineup. I think Nikola Jokic deserves to start. Absolutely. He's the only lock to me. He and Paul George are the only locks to me. I could be talked out of putting Kevin Durant in there, but my front court is Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, and Paul George. The only other person, obviously, would be LeBron James. And if I had to put LeBron James in there, I'd take Kevin Durant out. But as Scott said, LeBron missed too much time. It's weird to me that we all three of us sat here with a straight face and didn't put LeBron James in the All-Star starter.
I put him in.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I put him in.
My
argument for LeBron.
One of us had to do that.
I have two more things to say about LeBron. First of all, he's played, 34 games this season? Steph's played 36. And I know the guard depth in the West isn't as strong, and Steph Curry is by far and away more deserving of everyone else. Actually, there's an argument to me for Damian Lillard as well. I don't want to rule him out.
Wait a second. As what?
Damian Lillard?
As what?
A potentially a starter in the backcourt.
No. There's no argument to be made. There's Steph Curry and James Harden.
I'm just saying, if we're going to use the argument that LeBron has missed too many games, like, Steph's missed nearly just as many games as him, right? Like, that's the argument I'm making here. It's like, he's not the only one who's missed a good amount of games this season. We've also talked about Kawhi, so it's not like that should just automatically rule him out. That's my argument for him. Also, I know that it's only a half a season thing, the All-Star votes, but it is so hard for me to just completely rule out what he did in the second half of last season in the playoffs when looking at these kind of things. Again, that's not necessarily right.
Talking about who? Damian Lillard?
I'm talking about LeBron.
LeBron, okay.
And like, that does factor into my decision a little bit.
But it was in the other conference. That shouldn't matter.
But that bothers me that, like, we have nothing to evaluate what happens in the second half of that season and the playoffs. That's just a little thing for me, and that does matter to me.
We do, though.
Do we?
Yeah, it's all NBA. All NBA teams are what happens.
But the playoffs don't come into.
Yeah, the playoffs is your legacy. The playoffs is what you get praised for. The playoffs is for the Hall of Fame.
That's my point. The All-Star is just like half season. That's all it is.
Fair. But we don't treat it that way. You look at the votes right now. The last return, Derrick Rose is a guy who's in there based off of legacy.
Oh, sure. There's a lot of legacy stuff there.
DeMarcus
I'm just saying,
Cousins
for me,
just got on the court, and he's in the top 10 in front court voting, which, by the way, the front court voting, if it was up to the fans at the last third returns, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and Paul George would be starting in the West front court, and guards would be Steph Curry and Derrick Rose. It's a good thing we changed that, because that would suck. That would suck for a lot of people.
It would.
Out East, it would be Giannis, Kawhi, and Joel Embiid. They agree with us on the East front. And then in the back court, it'd be Kyrie and Dwayne Wade. That would suck too.
I actually disagree with both of you. I think it would be incredibly fascinating if those were our starting lineups.
No, it wouldn't.
Why? Because this isn't this isn't a situation as that we've seen in the past where there are these entirely undeserving players up or near the All-Star cutoff. Like, would I put Derrick Rose in the All-Star game? No. But, like, you can also see what he's doing on the floor, and, like, you could talk yourself into Derrick Rose being an All-Star this season.
Can you?
I think you can. Like, same thing with Luka. Luka's been great.
Luka has way more of a case.
And, like, Dwayne Wade, of course, is not an All-Star, but, like, it's Dwayne Wade. It's his final NBA season. It's not that much different than, like, Michael Jordan with the Wizards.
See,
he's been fine.
The Wade thing doesn't bother me as much because, like, the depth in the East isn't as strong, and it's his last season. So, like, if he makes it, like, I can understand why people will be upset, but it doesn't bother me as much. But, like, Derrick Rose has no, like, he should not be in the All-Star
game. It bothers me if Dwayne Wade makes it because we put so much emphasis, and these guys use this as negotiations for contracts and stats at the end of their careers, that if Dwayne Wade ends up being an All-Star, it takes away the opportunity from someone else that is actually deserving. And I'm not saying Dwayne Wade's not a great player. He's going to have his day. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. We don't need to reward him in 2019 for one All-Star game. I'm sorry. He needs to sit down and watch it like everybody else. That's all.
That's totally fair. And especially when you look at guys like Pascal Siakam, who's going to be in discussion, and how much that would mean to him. And even someone like Eric Bledsoe, who I believe is going to be a free agent this offseason, and kind of especially how his last season ended, coming into an All-Star this year and using that momentum to set up whatever contract he signs with the Bucks or another team. It definitely does matter. I don't know. I'm not gonna be too
it's
upset.
It's a game. It's a game for the fans.
Yeah, it's a
weekend for the fans. So if the fans want it, as long as it's not completely egregious, I don't have a problem with it.
But the Derrick Rose thing is kind of egregious.
A little bit egregious. Let's get out here on this one. One All-Star, regardless of vote, that you would love to see as a fan, regardless of the season they're having, just the one player you want to see in the All-Star game, even if it's not an actual thing. Like, it could be a bench player. It could be a bench warmer. It could be Luke Kennard. Just give me one name who you would love to see in the All-Star game.
I'm not going to lie, I want to see Jokic in there. I just want to see that guy throw no-look passes to LeBron, alley-oops, everything like that. His game doesn't necessarily translate well to an All-Star game, but I'm excited to see what he does, and he deserves it.
I want Luka Doncic in the All-Star game badly. I think that until the last month with James Harden, I think this season has been dominated by Luka mania. I think he's been the single most fascinating player of this entire season in a league that is as deep with superstar talent as perhaps it's ever been. And it's a 19-year-old rookie on a team that's outside of the playoffs and in the middle of a rebuild. And that's the guy, that's the kid that we're talking about. And superstars are raving about him. Coaching staffs are raving about him. People love playing with him. He's also, to me, like the type of player that like would have a lot of fun in an All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'd be throwing behind-the-back passes, and he'd be launching bombs from 40 feet. And I want to see Luka Doncic in the All-Star game. And I actually think he should be there, but that's a separate conversation for another time.
he might. We have to actually have that conversation when we do the rest West Reserves, easy for me to say. Sixth in the West front court voting was Steven Adams. I don't care what anybody says. I would love to see Steven Adams in an All-Star game. He would have no business being there. He's not like your All-Star type player. I don't know what he would do, but imagine Steven Adams getting an opportunity to shoot a three, and it doesn't matter. I want to see Steven Adams throw behind the back.
That's a good one.
I would love to see that. All right, so let's get out of here on this. We already have the front court starters. Remember, you can follow all of our work on NBA.com. Scott and Micah have done a terrific job so far of putting up articles that you guys care about the All-Star game. Head on to NBA.com to see it. I'm Carlin Gay. That is Micah Adams and Scott Rafferty. This is it for NBA Sound System.